Our text for this evening is the reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Dear Saints, in the last 2 weeks, we have meditated on passages from Isaiah that describe a sharp contrast between what Christ first appeared to be and what Christ is seen to truly be through the eyes of faith. He grew up like a tender shoot, struggling to survive in the desert. He had no outward glory or majesty to attract us to him. Yet he is the arm of the Lord, the power of God reaching out to save us. Which is to say, appearances can be deceiving. Tonight's text from Isaiah speaks of sicknesses and pains and wounds. As fallen, sinful human beings, we are all familiar with all of these things. The reality of disease has swirled around our world, especially these past 2 years. But of course, there are maladies other than COVID. We may experience something as simple as a cold or headache, or something more serious like pneumonia or migraines. We may be plagued with a chronic condition like arthritis or Alzheimer's, diabetes. Illness often prompts us to pray more than we might otherwise do, especially if we or someone we loved has received a particularly scary diagnosis, cancer, heart disease. And when illness comes, people may often ask, why me? Why does God allow me to get sick and suffer? What have I done to deserve this? The Bible says that the reason there is sickness and suffering and pain in this world is simply because of sin. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and because of their sin, sickness and pain and death entered the world. In fact, the first mention of pain in the Bible is right after the fall, when the Lord tells Eve that she will now experience pain in childbirth. Some people assume that sickness or pain or even other suffering come as a result of some particular sin they have committed. But God's word doesn't say that. We suffer because we are sinful. We are frail human beings, and we live in a broken and fallen world. Listen again to our text, this time from the New American Standard Bible. Isaiah writes, "However, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Some thought that Christ was justly being punished by God for some sin he had committed, some terrible thing that he had done. Listen to what they say as they look at Jesus on the cross. "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, I am the Son of God." These people thought that Jesus was blaspheming when he claimed to be God, and he was not. But of course, we know he was. They assumed this great suffering and excruciating pain was the just punishment of God for the sin that Jesus had committed. But our text corrects that false impression, that misunderstanding, that we had considered him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But in sharp contrast to that mistake, in fact, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The nails that pierced Jesus' hands and feet were placed there because of our transgressions. The sword that pierced his side was thrust in him because of our sin. Christ had no sin of his own, But in love, he took on all our sin and all our sickness and all our pain. The good news is that Jesus' suffering was not in vain. It brought for us the forgiveness of our sins. The punishment of Jesus was for our wrongdoing, that we might escape the punishment that we deserved, that he bore, and we might be declared innocent before God. He grants us, he gifts us peace and healing. We are at peace knowing that our sins are forgiven. When we are sick or when we suffer, we should never again wonder whether God is punishing us. Jesus Christ himself has already suffered the punishment of all our sin. He grants us peace and cures our ills. By his wounds, we are healed, says Isaiah. I suppose there's two opposite errors we can fall into when we contemplate these words. On the one hand, we may hear some people assert, well, if you're sick, you just need to pray to God hard enough, and he will heal you. And if that doesn't happen, if you're not healed, well, perhaps you have too little faith or the wrong kind of faith. But a little bit of logic quickly crushes that false teaching. Since all people die, we would have to assume that no one has faith. No, illness and pain do come upon even the faithful. The other extreme is to put all the blame on God for our suffering. If I don't receive what I pray for, then perhaps God doesn't answer prayer, or perhaps he's not listening, or worst of all, perhaps he just doesn't care. But God has promised to hear our prayer. And for his children, he promises that whatever he sends is best for us, even when we don't realize it in the moment. After all, for the believer, even death is transformed into the entrance to eternal life. God's word provides answers for our doubts. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. And from the pen of St. Peter, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. God is indeed concerned about our physical condition. He cares about our bodies. After all, he made them. God sent his Son to become man, to take on our flesh and blood, to be afflicted physically on our behalf. Jesus endured the sufferings and the pains that are common to all of us. He was pierced and died on the cross for us, then rose from the grave as the pledge of the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of our own bodies. You have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. One day, too, you will be permanently healed from all of your sickness and pain. We will rise with an incorruptible body that will be immune to all suffering and live with God, where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow. Until that day of resurrection arrives, we have this sure word of promise. By his wounds, we are healed. Let us pray. Every wound that pains or grieves me, by your wounds, Lord, is made whole. When I'm faint, your cross revives me, granting new life to my soul. Yes, your comfort renders sweet every bitter cup I meet. Your all-atoning passion has procured my soul's salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.